Blog Talk Radio.
Carter has 99 reasons to celebrate. The former Georgia peanut farmer who became president will spend his birthday with his family. Millions of people have been sending Carter personal messages. Here's CBS's Mark Strassman.
They're celebrating a birthday in tiny Plains, Georgia, Jimmy Carter's birthplace 99 years ago today.
I think we're just going to get down there and hang out as a family, you know, just be a really small private event. He can't party like he used to for his 99th birthday. So
none of us care.
Right. None of us care. That's exactly right.
I love you, Jimmy Carter. Happy birthday.
Americans celebrate with him, the famous
and happy birthday, President Carter,
and the everyday.
99.
A Jimmy Carter peanut gallery of well-wishers, the White House wooden cake, 39 candles for the 39th president.
It's some salute, considering most Americans alive today were born after Jimmy Carter left the White House in 1981 and moved back here to Plains.
Grab a cupcake.
Yeah. He's like the father of the town. He's the heart of the town. And we just celebrate him every day.
But this Sunday in particular.
This Sunday in particular.
Yeah. When Carter entered hospice back in February, his family thought he had days left. Instead, he lived to see his 77th wedding anniversary with Rosalind Carter, and 7 months later has earned all this birthday fuss.
You don't get more from a life than they got. And they know that. They understand that. And he's really at peace with where he is.
The Carters will celebrate the day as true Southerners with family, fried chicken, and caramel cake, his favorite. Mark Strassman, CBS News, Plains, Georgia.
90. Feinstein was the longest-serving woman senator ever, more than three decades. Trailblazing senator started her career on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, ended up one of the most powerful senators of her generation. Feinstein's health had been getting worse recently. This spring, she took off about 10 weeks after a bout with shingles.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good night. Oh, I feel like it's good night, but good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picka from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well. And I am so happy that former President Jimmy Carter got to celebrate his 99th birthday. And President Joe Biden has been calling the family just about every single day to check up on him, which I find amazing. And he sent him a video posted to X. And on there he said, "President Jimmy Carter, you remain the spirit and the heart of the American people." That was what President Biden sent him for his birthday. I thought that was very sweet.
Yes. I always wonder what type of presidency second term he would have if he got reelected in 1980. Of course, a shyster, the liar, Ronald Reagan, went behind America's back and made deals with the Iranians, who are sworn enemies. The arms passages deal. As soon as Reagan puts his hand in that Bible, they release the prisoners and everything. And, you know, Oliver North went to prison. Not a lot of people, John Point Dexter and whomever else, can't remember the names, you know, but, you know, they suffer consequences. They went to prison for little or no time. And it just sullied the reputation. And since then, till now, the Republican Party has just gotten worse and worse. I mean, Reagan should have been impeached, and Reagan should have been in jail for a long contract. But hey, you know, Reagan is the blue-eyed boy of the press, you know, and he keeps saying, "Oh yeah, liberal media." What liberal media? The liberal media is owned 90% by the top five families in America, and all of them are Republicans. So when I say liberal media, they could shove up their asses. Anyway, we're here tonight on U.S. politics, the news, and what's happening around the world. So thank you for sharing across all social media and joining us tonight. You can call in 515-605-9802. So your first name, where you're calling from. Turn off all background noises and strap into the host and listeners of the show. Don't speak over us as the host or any other callers that may be online at the same time. We're not antisocial, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Okay, so... the President of the United States. Happy birthday, Jimmy Carter. You did well as President of the United States, and you went around the world as a humanitarian, building with Habitats for Humanity, even in this country. And you're the most active president after leaving office, and you have nothing to be ashamed of. You have everything to be proud of. And I hope tonight you're with your family enjoying that cake that you love. And just know that the United States loves you, and the world loves you and respects you. And he was one of, you know, one of the two presidents I ever met in real life, next one being Gerald Ford, when I lived back in Florida. You know, so to me, he was a humble, gracious man. And he was just, you know, when you're drawn to somebody and the niceness just pour out and come out, and the genuine happiness of this man. You know, so, you know, hopefully he'll make it to 100 years old. He's in a hospice now. So they're taking care of him real good, because he's a national treasure, Jimmy Carter. You know, so all the best to him and his family. And I hope, you know, nothing but eternal peace and happiness, because he's a good man. So Biden signed 45-day funding bill to keep government open. And the Senate passed a last-minute spending bill yesterday night, Saturday night, averting a government shutdown that would have triggered a calamitous domino effect on the American public and economy. It would have sunk the economy by $8 billion, sorry. And whatever Joe Biden worked hard since he was elected and sworn into office would have gone down the drain. So the Senate voted to pass a continuing resolution 3 hours before 12:01 a.m., which was September 30th, to shut down the federal government, and it would have taken effect. So the last government shutdown lasted for something like 35 days, if I remember correctly, and Republicans didn't look too good coming out of that. And, you know, Democrats, you know, have no... it wasn't their fault why the government shut down, or if the government shut down again, you know, it wouldn't have been their fault. So the bill would allow the government to stay open for 45 days, giving the House and the Senate more time to finish their funding legislation. a 71-page report, short-term bill, crafted by House Speaker Kevin McCarthy of California, allocate disaster relief funds, but does not include new financial assistance to Ukraine and their ongoing war with Russia. So that was one of the stipulations that Republicans, or should I say the Freedom Caucus, Matt Gaetz and company, insisted it should be in there. And since the inception of the Russian full-scale war in Ukraine, the United States has unleashed a war chest worth more than $43 billion in assistance to Ukraine. So earlier on Saturday, the House voted 335-91 to pass a stopgap spending measure. The House will resume work tomorrow on Monday. And in this 91 people who voted against it, one is a Democrat, the rest are Republican. So, you know, you could say it's a bipartisan bill to keep government open for 45 more days, and they're just kicking the can down the road. President Biden signed a spending bill officially called H.R. 5860 into law late Saturday night, preventing a government shutdown. So as the President of the United States tweeted, or no, he said it on Instagram, I just signed a law to keep the government open for 47 days. So there's plenty of time to pass government funding bills for the next fiscal year, and I strongly urge Congress to get to work right away. The American people expect their government to work. Let's make sure it does. That was Joe Biden saying that. And, of course, Republicans who voted against it are in lockstep with Donald Trump, their front-runner for the nomination in 2024. And a lot of the Republicans are beholden to Donald Trump. Why? He has some secrets to them. I don't know, but they're weak and ineffective. And they're frankly childish, and everybody's sick of them. So we look forward to the calls, or the two people lined up to come on here. And we're going to talk about the government shutdown that was averted and any other topic that came up during the last past week and everything. And in Texas, I heard this three-year-old boy drowned and died because, you know, I guess he was crossing the border because of the barbed wires and whatever they have in there, in that border crossing of the river. He succumbed to death by drowning. So, you know, Republicans are disgusting, they're inhumane, and cruelty is their point. And in 2024, we're going to show them that the American people are boss when they vote, and vote against them from top of the ticket, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, right down to City Council. Even dog catcher, these motherfuckers need to answer for their, you know, hatred of people and of America. So look forward to your calls, 515-605-9802. Say first name, where you're calling from. Hello, welcome to the show. What's cooking tonight? Hello, Elaine?
Oh,
okay.
Me again?
Yes, good evening.
Happy birthday, Jimmy Carter. And we averted a shutdown for 45 days, but we're going to be going mess again. I don't understand what's going on. I just absolutely, I keep trying to figure it out. I can't figure it out. But Donald Trump did say that he wanted the government shut down.
Yeah.
So you know what? Who's leading the Congress?
You know, the thing that bothers me is that yes, in 45 days we have to start this ridiculousness all over again. You know, they're going to call each other names. They're swearing each other. They swear at each other on the floor. They're disrespectful to everyone. It is a shit show. It's a clown act. And like I said, so in 45 days, right before Thanksgiving, you know, they have to make everyone worry again about the government shutting down. Well, you know, why don't we make them worry about collecting their pay? That is what we need to do, because it's sickening. There is no excuse for this. And as far as Ukraine goes, why are they so hell-bent against saving the democracy in that country? We have spent so much money there, so many billions of dollars, and you just want to stop all of a sudden. I know there's money to go away. President Biden didn't say how long, but he said they have some money that they can keep going for a while. I don't think it's for the 45 days. But what I'm saying is they have invested so much money, time, energy. You know, why are they hell-bent on helping these people? Is it because of Putin? Are they listening to Putin? Is that what they're doing? Are they, I mean, it just does not make sense. That is the only thing that it can
Trump
be.
Did say to McCarthy, shut him down. Now, we have figured out that Putin is still jerking to Trump's chain. I mean, when are the rest of us going to admit this is what's going on?
Well, yes, that is what's going on. But what I'm saying, Elaine, is that why is it they have to pick on, you know, all of this was already set in stone. They gave a verbal agreement to President Biden that they were going to go on with this budget the way they had spoke about it the last time. I don't know if all of you remember or not, but they did.
I remember.
And now they went back on their, yes, and they all went back on their word. All of them went back on their word and were infighting and, like I said, calling each other names and basically threatening each other. And it's because of Ukraine. Now, why are they? Someone tell me why they do not want to help Ukraine. What is the
because
reason?
They're part
it is
of Putin's, buddies.
That's
a mob.
The only way that
they're gangsters.
Yes, and that's the only thing that makes sense. The only thing that makes sense is that it's
money,
connected to
only,
Putin in some way.
And you know, I bet you any money that if Russia is successful in overthrowing and taking over Ukraine, next on the agenda is either the Baltic states, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia.
Of course.
Or Georgia.
So keep going.
You know, because they're right next door.
Or Poland.
They're all part of the same gang. It's horrible what they're doing. I think we're losing one another.
Mm.
We on the air? Hello?
Yeah.
Kelly from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Kelly,
okay.
Are you there?
Pardon?
Yeah, I'm here. It just sounded like we lost everybody. No, I feel they're part of a gang.
Uh-huh.
They're part of Putin's gang. And we've got to get them out of office, and we have to get some decent people in office.
Hey, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I wanted to say is when I listened to President Biden today, when he said that they passed the spending bill, you know, he was so gracious. He wasn't mad. He wasn't, you know, I don't know how to put it, but he was just so nice. I guess that's the word. He was just so nice about it, you know, and he said it was bipartisan. And, you know, so he is constantly trying to extend the hand to the other side, and they're constantly biting his fingers. And it's so wrong, and it's so counterproductive to our country, because the American people are starting to see this, and they understand that Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, it goes on. I have the list. I can read it, but the list goes on. They're just
obstructionists. Well, let's not forget Mr. Gaetz.
Oh, no. He's the ringleader right now. For what reason? Why is he all of a sudden the ringleader? Why is he all of a sudden in McCarthy's face, and I mean in his face, where they really had a crossfire between them of not so very nice words? Why? You know, so there must be such a backstory to this that we just don't understand it, you know. And President Biden is just trying to keep the peace. He's trying to keep the country going forward. He's trying to do all the right things and stay positive. I don't know how he does it. I truly don't know how that man does it. I don't. I give him so much credit.
I think he gave a calm speech so the rest of us can calm down. I really do. I think he knows that his following is in the majority, and we're not going to change those evil people, and he wants the rest of us to calm down, and he wants us to relax, not relax. He wants us to think and to get the vote out.
Yeah, my thing is, Joe Biden's been trying this for nearly 4 years, and even Democrats before him, where they're trying to extend the olive branch to Republicans, and basically Republicans spit in their face and just pissed all over them. And Democrats should cut that out. Stop it. You know why? If the Republicans don't get their own way, it's the highway, and it's just ruining America. It's destroying the country. And I hope people in rural areas and in gerrymandered red states see what is going on. But I guess cruelty is the thing by Republicans. The more cruel it is, the better standing it is with their base and everything. And this is not what America is about. So Joe Biden and Democrats, please take off your gloves and just lay the smack down on them and beat the crap out of them. Stop being nice. Stop trying to auto cheat. Stop being diplomatic, because it's not working. Ever since Barack Obama was president, even before that, Bill Clinton was president. They impeached them on bullshit grounds, but yet we still extend the olive branch. And take the boxing glove off and literally beat the crap out of them, wipe their faces to the floor. Republicans are tyrants. They're terrorists for a nation. The American people are sick of it.
It's not in President Biden's nature to yell and scream and to say nasty things.
I don't mean to yell and scream. I know what you're trying to say. Or say anything nasty, but just tell it like it is. You know what he did say? We had an agreement. He did say that. You know, and you basically went back on your agreement, you know, and he called out McCarthy for that. And, McCarthy doesn't care. It's obvious he doesn't care. He's being bullied by his own party, you know.
Yes. Yeah, so speaking of Kevin McCarthy, he was on Face Nation today. And this is a super clip here. So here it is.
Has done it once again. They've kicked the proverbial can down the road, passing a 45-day funding bill to keep the government running. Now, the deadline for getting spending bills passed is November 17th. Joining us this morning, the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. Good morning. You've had a heck of a week. There is a lot to get to with you. I want to start, though, on the news this morning from Congressman Matt Gaetz, who says he's going to seek a motion to vacate. He's going to try to oust you as Speaker of the House.
That's nothing new. He's tried to do that from the moment I ran for office.
Well, this time he says he's going to keep going. May not get there before the 15th ballot, but it took 15 for Kevin McCarthy. He says he's coming for you. Can you survive?
Yes, I'll survive. You know, this is personal with Matt. Matt voted against the most conservative ability to protect our border, secure our border. He's more interested in securing TV interviews than doing something. He wanted to push us into a shutdown, even threatening his own district with all the military people there who would not be paid, only because he wants to take this motion. So be it. Bring it on. Let's get over with it, and let's start governing. If he's upset because he tried to push us in a shutdown and I made sure government didn't shut down, then let's have that talk.
You need 218 votes to vacate. Has Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader, said that he will
not?
He
hasn't said anything about what he's going to do. Look,
well, Democrats could cross over and follow Gates's lead on this.
Gates is trying to work with Democrats. He reached out to Swalwell, to AOC, and others. But if that's the way we're going to govern, I don't think America is going to be successful. But at the end of the day, think of everything we've been able to accomplish so far. Parents' Bill of Rights. We passed the most conservative bill to protect our border, make America energy independent. We've been able to cut $2 trillion in the debt ceiling, get work requirements back in. The hard part we have right now is the Senate has not passed one appropriation bill. Each body is supposed to pass 12. We've passed more than 70% of the discretionary spending already. I thought it was appropriate.
Surviving in the Senate and making it into law.
Well, you said that same thing when we stopped D.C. from decriminalizing everything. You said the same thing when we said we're going to stop the pandemic.
I don't think I ever talked about those things.
Well, no, you and the mayor of the press would do things. Why pass it? Because the Senate won't take it up and won't sign it. Most of you in the press probably thought we would have shut down yesterday, too. But no, we did not.
Were you confident we wouldn't shut down?
I was confident I could get something on the floor to make sure the option that we would not.
But
that
you weren't
our
sure
military,
it was going to pass.
Well, I wasn't sure it was going to pass. You want to know why? Because the Democrats tried to do everything they can not to let it pass. They did
Democrats were the ones who voted for this
in a larger
number than Republicans to keep the continuing resolution.
Yeah, so it's the whole – this guy Kevin McCarthy is a liar. He's so full of shit.
I can't listen to him anymore.
Democrats. Yeah, Democrats helped pass this bill. 90 Republicans voted against it. What is this man Kevin McCarthy talking about? Seriously.
He's talking to his base.
Yeah, that's all.
The biggest oxymoron for the American people, the biggest oxymoron is Kevin McCarthy having a spine. I don't understand why, you know, people trust Kevin McCarthy and worship Matt Gaetz, a.k.a. Rick McForehead. You know, let's speak on both sides.
As far as I'm concerned,
you know, Matt Gaetz just want, like, that limelight and attention. You know, listen to someone, like, unqualified like McCarthy to do his job. It's excruciating, especially when he's on or one of the top members of the government. That's scary. He's like two heartbeats away from the presidency. So if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris drop down dead tomorrow, God forbid, he becomes president of the United States. You know how gut-wrenching that would be? Just even thinking about that, a bit more to throw up.
I would run away.
Hello from Virginia. Welcome to the show. Do you have anything to say on this government shutdown?
Hi, Khalil.
It's not good, and the way I feel is it's not the way it is. It's like, first of all, they say too many people will say nothing's being done about the border, but then when you try to do something about the border, but just be, you know, what you would say, diplomatic or compromise, they don't want any immigration reform or amnesty. They just want to keep these people out and. It isn't as simple as that. You know, the U.S. government made the mess, and the U.S. government is being phony about it. And then not only that, but also if we can go in Afghanistan, I mean, if we can go in Iraq and all that stuff, we can also go in places like, Ukraine and Africa and places like that. We can do that if we can go in Afghanistan and Iraq. I mean Iraq. That's what we can do. We can do that stuff. So it's just like when it comes to actually helping people, this government doesn't want to do it. But then when it comes to going and messing up other countries, that's what this government wants to do.
Yeah.
And the whole...
Exactly.
The whole argument about it not being our country is stupid when we go and mess up other countries. And that definitely shouldn't be an answer when we mess that particular country up. If we mess that particular country up, we need to go back and fix it.
Exactly. Or how about this, not going to people's country to begin with, whether they have natural resources or not, or quote-unquote defending democracy and freedom. Just stay home and mind your fucking business. How about that, America? But Ronald Reagan, his first speech was on immigration, and it's a lengthy thing, about 3 minutes long. I'm going to play it, and we'll talk about it afterwards. Because trust me, if Ronald Reagan tried to run as a Republican for president this day and age, you know, that's for probably chase him out, call him a liberal. And here's Ronald Reagan. I think it was 1981. He gave a speech about illegal aliens and immigration.
But it is true our borders are out of control. It is also true that this has been a situation on our borders back through a number of administrations. And I supported this bill. I believe in the idea of amnesty for those who have put down roots and who have lived here, even though sometime back they may have entered illegally. With regard to the employer sanctions, this we must have that. Not only to ensure that we can identify the illegal aliens, but also, while some keep protesting about what it would do to employers, there is another employer that we shouldn't be so concerned about. And these are employers down through the years who have encouraged the illegal entry into this country because they then hire these individuals and hire them at starvation wages and with none of the benefits that we think are normal and natural for workers in our country. And the individuals can't complain because of their illegal status. We don't think that those people should be allowed to continue operating free. And this was why the provisions that we had in with regard to sanctions and so forth. And I'm going to do everything I can, and all of us in the administration are, to join in again when Congress is back at it to get an immigration bill that will give us once again control of our borders. And with regard to friendship below the border and with the countries down there, yes, no administration that I know has established the relationship that we have with our Latin friends. But as long as they have an economy that leaves so many people in dire poverty and unemployment, they are going to seek that employment across our borders, and we work with those other countries.
President Reagan did sign the sweeping new Immigration Reform Act today. He said it protects the sacred possession of American citizenship.
We didn't call it amnesty. We called it legalization. We were able to escape the hammer blows from the left and the right and everybody else.
Well, I was actually extremely hopeful that the law would work because many of the members that I represented in my local union were undocumented.
Senator Alan Simpson, a Republican from Wyoming, helped author the Immigration Reform and Control Act, along with Kentucky Democrat Romano Mazzoli.
We brought up two bills, one on illegal immigration and one on legal immigration, and both passed. Well, the illegal immigration bill worked because everybody wanted to hammer the illegals. That's the ancient phrase today. So we did legalization, and 3 million people came out of the dark from 93 countries.
The initial bill was seen as the answer to the country's immigration issues. It offered three solutions: amnesty to illegal immigrants who came to the U.S. prior to 1982, economic sanctions against employers who hired illegal workers, and a proposal to fortify the nation's borders. At the same time, granting amnesty wasn't a popular solution. This poll from 1984 shows that 55% of the country thought the government should arrest and deport illegal immigrants. The public opinion toward immigrants wasn't one-sided. A 1985 poll found that a majority of Americans believed recent immigrants were good, honest people and productive citizens once they became established.
Reverse type 2 diabetes.
Okay, so that was Ronald Reagan there when he was debating Walter Mondale, 1984 re-election committee. And he was for comprehensive immigration reform. And when he got re-elected, he tried, to basically help with the immigration crisis. But now Republicans today are putting barbed wires in rivers so people can't cross over to get into the United States. And it's killing them. A three-year-old boy was recently killed. He drowned.
Yep.
He saw the body and it all cut up and everything. This is who the Republican Party is. Just evil, destructive, and just don't care. Cruelty is a form. And Greg Abbott, you're a disgusting man. And how will we reach up to you? Keep telling people out there when you mean and rock to people, then how will we get you? So what do you have to say about what Ryan Reagan said?
Well, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, he's right. And what the U.S. government has to the U.S. government and the people that oppose it have to realize is America is not your personal property. Unless it becomes, you know, if we want to do that, we need to personalize America or just not mess up the other countries at all. Because if this were the same thing as breaking into a house, we would have it would be personal property. And then not only that, people who have their houses broken into, they don't go and mess up other people's countries. They're just innocent people. But when America has illegal immigrants coming to America, you know, it becomes a problem because basically the U.S. government has caused a mess and then been funny about that. And another thing is we don't have America, people that have their houses broken into don't have a sign that says, bring me your tired, your poor. It just, people just break into houses and it's a violent crime and it's not a civil crime. So like Mike, the thing that pissed me off is Mike from INS, he wanted to say nothing being done about illegal immigration, but then he opposes immigration reform. It's like, you can't have it both ways.
No. And they do oppose immigration reform. They want it both ways. You know, you're absolutely right, Khalil. And, you know, Abbott, it should be ousted. He should be disgraced and taken out of his governorship because of what he did and charged with what he did, putting, you know, barbed wire with blades in the center of them is cruel. And what kind of a mind? Think about this for a second. What kind of a cruel mind do you have to have? How sadistic do you have to be to orchestrate something like that? I mean, he must have spent a lot of time thinking about how he would put that barbed wire in there, you know, with those chainsaws and, or I don't know, they would look like round blades from a saw. They were, you know, like from an electric saw, huge round blades in between. Who thinks of that stuff unless you have a sadistic, sick mind? Who does that? That's what
mind-boggles
me.
Nazis. That's who doing it. Nazis. Nazi behavior. Because remember nine, 10 days ago in Missouri, Republicans, a family, elected officials there, he's on a federal level, and, you know, he and other supporters of his, and other Republicans were elected, had a blowtorch, and the books that they didn't agree with, that set them on fire.
Yes.
That's a direct playbook of the Nazi regime. And then when he came on air and speaking to local, whoever it was, TV station, he said, oh, no, we didn't do that. We were talking figuratively. But you have on tape recorded these Nazi Republican scumbags setting books that they don't do it and fire using blowtorch. This is the mentality of these Republicans. And when you call them out on it and have evidence, they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting. White people still.
Oh yeah, I saw that. I saw that video, David.
Do not know
it. It was, I believe, they set the books on fire on the governor's, like in his front porch, but on the grass in front of the the governor's mansion. I think that's where it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw that video as well. But the other thing, going back for a moment with Greg Abbott.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, going back to Greg Abbott for a moment. When he put those buoys in there, that water space does not belong to him. I mean, that's not his private property. Why does he think that he has the right to do something like that? And why hasn't he been arrested for doing that? That's attempted murder, in my opinion. That's what it is. Why?
Mm-hmm. Because some people believe they're above the law and are untouchable. That's right. The two-tier justice system in America.
It is. We do have. I truly believe after everything that has happened in these last few years, I do believe we have a two-tier justice system. There are very few that do not get away with what they've done, but many of them do, especially when they have lots of money, power, and connections.
Yeah, but let's shift focus and talk about the Republican infighting. Matt Gaetz threatened to trigger a vote to remove McCarthy as Speaker. And he'll keep doing that until the vote comes up to oust him as Speaker of the House. And my follow-up question after this video is, who do you think is qualified or capable of being Speaker of the House on the Republican side besides Kevin McCarthy? So we'll watch this two-minute video now explaining the trigger vote of what Matt Gaetz trying to know and talk about, which Republican is capable of being Speaker besides McCarthy. McCarthy, so far, is incapable, spineless, coward, gutless. So anybody behind him is worse. But here's a clip, and we'll come back and talk about it.
Shutdown averted for now. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is facing a new challenge tonight.
I do intend to file a motion to vacate against Speaker McCarthy this week.
Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz threatening to trigger a vote to remove McCarthy. That move comes after Congress reached a last-minute deal.
The bill is passed.
Just before the midnight deadline, President Biden signing a bill to keep government open for the next 45 days. Without money for Ukraine, the southern border, or a plan to fund the federal government for the next year.
The brinkmanship has to end. There shouldn't be another crisis.
Speaker McCarthy's last-ditch effort, passing both chambers with more support from Democrats than members of his own party. McCarthy's job now on the line.
I'll survive. If he's upset because he tried to push us into shutdown and I made sure government didn't shut down, then let's have that fight.
And so if Democrats want to own Kevin McCarthy by bailing him out, I can't stop him, but then he'll be their speaker, not mine.
But Gaetz has gone across the aisle in search of votes.
Would you vote to get rid of McCarthy as speaker?
Would I cast that vote? Absolutely. Most Republicans coming to the speaker's defense.
We just put a two-party solution on the floor. It passed. It saved America, saved our country from a shutdown. Are we going to reward that kind of behavior for the future, or are we going to punish it?
What do you make of Congressman Gaetz?
Well, I think he's just a thorn in the side of America. I don't view him as somebody who's serious about governing.
Meanwhile, McCarthy is calling for Congressman Jamal Bowman to face punishment. Republicans are accusing the New York Democrat of pulling a fire alarm on Capitol Hill to delay the funding vote. Bowman denying it was intentional.
Julie joins us now from Capitol Hill. And Julie, 44 days from today, we may be in yet another shutdown scramble, right?
Yes, both chambers don't get on the same page. There could be yet another shutdown threat just before Thanksgiving. As for McCarthy, the question is, do Democrats save him again? That answer lies within their party leadership. Hallie?
Thanks for watching. Stay updated about...
Yes, man. So there you have it. That's full explanation of what's been going on in the Republican Party and how incompetent all of them are in trying to find solutions to the debt ceiling. And Democrats voted overwhelmingly, along with other Republicans, to save the government from being shut down. Matt Gaetz is a douchebag. Marjorie Taylor Greene, worse. Bobo the Clown in Colorado, they have no business being in Congress. So... what do you think of the internal fight in the Republican Party? Do you see Donald Trump being a nominee for 2024, or will, an alternate come up if and when Donald Trump is found guilty and convicted and have spent time in prison? Because if he's elected president, God forbid, and he's in prison, that's a constitutional crisis. Lori?
Yes, I'm here.
That was some question.
I'm here. We know that we don't want Donald Trump as president. We know that. We know that it would be the end of our democracy. I am hoping that he's in prison or very close to being in prison by that time. You did ask before this who might be taking over McCarthy's job, if you want to call it a job. From this article that I have, and I sent it to you, David, they have been talking about it. I didn't even realize that they've been having discussions about it. House Majority Whip Tom Emmer is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Emmer has been floated as the favorite pick of conservative members of the House, particularly the House Freedom Caucus. People familiar with the matter told Politico and the Washington Post. Politico reported that the former Freedom Caucus Chairman Andy Biggs pointed to Emmer as a choice, though Biggs denied it. conservatives in the House believe Emmer is more friendly to their interests and will deliver better results. The primary problem with Emmer as a replacement is that he publicly backs McCarthy, dismissing any talks of replacement as palace intrigue. And he went on to say, I fully support Speaker McCarthy. He knows that, and I know that. I have zero interest in palace intrigue. End of discussion, he said. You know, it's just a zoo. You know, the other one is, that they're thinking about is an anonymous Republican lawmaker told Axios that Green had been approached multiple times to be the replacement for McCarthy. This possibly runs into the same problem as Emmer. Green reportedly declined any interest in the position. I don't believe any of them. You know that? Because they're all drunk on
pot. No, they're liars.
That's for sure. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. The other one is, let me see. So let's go on with Green for a minute. Green has been a muscular advocate in the Republican effort to highlight the devolving situation at the southern border. After beating out Rep. Dan Crenshaw, Republican for Texas, for the chairman role on the House Homeland Security Committee. The Tennessee Republican has led efforts to grill Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas. Have you heard her grill anybody? Have you heard her? She is rude. She's loud. She's obnoxious. And she's very demeaning when she talks, and she doesn't shut up. Even when she's told to shut up, she does not shut up. She goes over her time all the time. Scalise, one of the few House leadership to enjoy broad support among the different factions of the Republican lawmakers, is seen as the natural successor to McCarthy. He may even be the most open to the possibility, as people familiar with the matter told Washington Post that some tension exists in their relationship, which appears to be absent in Emmer's case. So, in other words, I think it's a toss-up. Just throw their names in the air. Whatever lands on the floor, pick it up and see who it is, really. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how well to just put it.
Yeah, over a week ago, Congressman Raskin from Maryland said shutting the government down will end the political career of Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene. And that would be a good thing, really. So at one end, I was hoping that the shutdown so we could get rid of these two mm-hmm. creeps and bozos. But then again, look at the suffering mm-hmm. what American families will go through. You know, the people who serve in the military.
Oh, yeah.
federal workers,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of them get paid overtime, you know. I mean, Republicans have shown their hand time and time again as not being credible, not being loyal to the American people, and just out for themselves on
mm-hmm.
power. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, as far
mm-hmm.
as I'm concerned, jockeying for position to be Trump's vice presidential pick. And, you know, she lacks the moral compass and the fortitude to be in such a position. And if that does happen...
What about experience?
Either she or... If either she or Carrie Lake becomes Trump running mate, then it'll have been worse than John McCain picking Sarah Palin. At least Sarah Palin was a governor. Well, these two idiots, Carrie Lake and Marjorie Taylor Greene,
mm-hmm.
one is mm-hmm. is ignorant and stupid and dangerous and has power. The next one, living in an alternate universe and very ignorant and very stubborn. You know, so... Whichever one Trump chooses, if he chooses any of them, these salty ladies, then, you know, God help us if they win. Because the amount of revenge that way Donald Trump will lay out against his political opponents and his
mm-hmm.
perceived enemies, you know, is just going to make America suffer even more and probably destroy the country. You know, so, you know, Elaine, what do you think?
Who should be the new Speaker of the House? I don't know. There isn't anybody.
Well, no. If and when Trump chooses a vice presidential running mate, who's the worst one, Marjorie Taylor Greene or Carrie Lake? Are they both equally, you know, ignorant
they're equally,
and dangerous?
They're equally bad. Equally bad. They
mm-hmm.
they don't have any feelings for anything or anybody. They're just plain mean-spirited people, both of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're just. It wouldn't matter which one he chose. They would suit his personality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
But we can't
get into
that position. Well, we have to decide who we would like for his running mate, because we have to make up mm-hmm. our mind he's not going to get elected.
Mm-hmm. We'll figure more or less, because the amount of trials that he'll have to go through and the amount of shit that, you know, he lied about and suffering consequences now. Remember in 2016, we all thought Hillary Clinton would not win, so can't make that mistake again by saying, oh, Donald Trump can't win. You know, once he's nominee, then, you know, we'll have to be vigilant and make sure that we get our people to the polls and elect Democrats from top of the ticket down to the bottom, right down to the dog catcher. Because if Republicans, especially Trump, going there, it's over for democracy. And we're not going to allow that to happen.
I'm not saying that he can't win. I'm saying that we have got to get out there, and we have got to vote. And I think the registration of all these young people by
mm-hmm.
that singer, oh, geez.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor
Swift.
Yes.
Taylor Swift, yeah.
I think that's
mm-hmm.
marvelous. And she isn't
yeah.
saying, are you a Democrat or Republican? She's registering voters, and that's what we have to do. We have to get the people out to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's the bottom
line.
I don't know what else
right
to say anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I know what's going
do you know
on.
That the right wing. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I know what's going on. The majority of us know what's going on. We know that Putin is pulling Trump's strings. We know that. Through Putin, through that orange monster, he's pulling those deplorable strings. He's pulling green strings and Gates' string. We know that's going on. We'll just have to register people to vote, and we have to please back our legal system. They've got the ducks in order, and now just do your job. And show the people that this man is guilty and give him a punishment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, so we're going to take a look now at these Republican senators who voted against government funding to keep the government running and open. And as always, the talk of the game when things go right and take credit even though they voted against it. So, you know, the usual suspects when you think about it, their names will come up. Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, Senator Mike Braun from Indiana, Senator Ted Cruz from Texas, Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee, Senator Mike Lee from Utah, Senator Roger Marshall from Kansas, Senator Rand Paul, Kentucky, and Senator Eric Schmidt from Missouri. And last but not least, J.D. Vance, Republican from Ohio. These are the 9 senators who voted not to keep the government open for the spend gap. And, you know, it's just utter cruelty and disrespect to the American people that these senators have the nerve to go in there and vote no, you know, to try and ruin people's lives financially. Because people are paying in mortgage, you know, college fees, you know, different things, utilities, having food on the table. But no, these Republicans rather play games, political games, and, you know, have political theater than to do what's right. And, you know, hopefully in the next 4 to 5 days, when this comes up again on November 17th, yeah, 3 days before my birthday and Joe Biden's birthday, we celebrate a birthday together on November 20th, you know, they are going to pay so badly, you know, politically. And I can't wait. I cannot wait. November 2024 can't come soon enough. The deep time and time again, last time we had a shutdown lasted 35 days. And because they were embarrassed and people were coming out against them, they voted to, like, start funding the government again. You know, so through political expediency and trying to, like, ruin the economy because there was a Democratic president. Why didn't they shut down the government when Donald Trump was president? They gave him a blank check. He ran a deficit, $7 trillion, you know, more than all presidents of the United States combined. So where were the fiscal conservatives then? Where was Matt Gaetz? Where's Marsha Taylor Greene? Where's these senators who are just calling in? There were nowhere to be found. Yeah, pretty much.
They're corrupt and violent. They're not fiscally conservative. They are religiously conservative. And we're not supposed, according to the Constitution, and to run a country right, we're not supposed to mix church and state, especially in the United States. We have too many different religions. You can't mix all these religions up together and have it part of government. They're not fiscally conservative.
Yeah, and people think so. People think that way, that their religion is the way, their way, or you go to hell, then they have no business in politics. Well, go ahead, Lori.
The other thing I was going to say is they keep talking about this border crisis and the fentanyl that is pouring in. You know, these people that are coming, you know, with their shirts on their backs, are they carrying fentanyl with them? That's what I would like to know, number one. And number two, how are these Republicans, do they have a plan? Do they have a plan for border security measures? What is their plan? I have not heard their plan. Has anyone heard their plan?
I heard this plan recently that Donald Trump was saying put alligators in the water, not just barbed wire fence. That's their plan, to kill people.
That's what I'm trying to say. So Greg Abbott had a plan, and it was, as I explained, I think it was horrific. So they don't really have planned, so to speak, something that would work to help, you know, these people come when they come here for asylum, like we've always done in many years past. We've always given people asylum. All of a sudden, I know we do have a lot of people coming into the country. And it's because they have no place else to go. Does anyone understand? Do they understand that? Well, I guess they do. They don't care. I answer my own questions sometimes. But at least if they would say, look, we have a 10-point plan. This is what we're going to put in place. This is, you know, and talk about it, negotiate with it, you know, bipartisan bill. Yes, we would all like the border crisis to be fixed. We would all like for these people to be able to come here and just like they did, my parents did, you know, years past, 70 years past, however long ago it was, past, and be able to have good lives or at least try to have good lives or something. I mean, it makes no sense. That's all they talk about. But I never hear of a solution. What is their solution? I wish somebody would come call into the show and tell us what their solution is, because I've never heard one.
Yeah, Republican voters will call in because they're stupid, and every time you call them out on their stupidity, whichever argument they bring in, the all is, you know, change the subject.
Screaming yell.
You know, and they don't stay on
or
topic.
Screaming yell.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and so Matt Gaetz must be careful because this remains to be seen how this ongoing controversy will unfold. They have the ethics investigation on him, and they're saying that the congressman from Florida has been inappropriate in terms of sexual harassment, sexual misconduct, illicit drug use, and other misconduct. You know, so at this point, I guess Republicans in the House are sick of him and his psychotic behavior.
They are sick of him.
You know, put cameras on me type of thing. You know, he's like a pick me, basically. Pick me. I have a lot to say. And, you know, when you do put him on camera, he has a lot of garbage to say. And instead of finding solutions to America's problems, moving forward, Matt Gaetz is just a hindrance. And not only Democrats sick him, his own Republicans sick him. So depending on how this ethics investigation go out and a report coming out soon, they may vote to expel Matt Gaetz. That would be such a great thing. And hopefully they expel Marjorie Taylor Greene and also Lauren Boebert for misconduct. You know, Boebert clown, you know, because... She gave the excuse recently that, oh, you know, his dick was still in his pants when she was touching him there. So that didn't count. I mean, Jesus Christ, woman, you say you're a Christian conservative.
Yeah.
Children were running around.
Oh, yeah.
And he grabbed a man by his junk and tried to jerk him off. I mean, is that becoming of a congresswoman? No. If a Democrat did
that,
we'd be here at the end of it. Not the November 2024 election. We hear it ad nauseum. So, Lauren Boebert, your days are numbered in terms of being a congresswoman because you're very hated by your side, and we're indifferent on the Democratic side. We know that you're stupid and incompetent, and it's just a matter of time. If the people don't vote you out of District 6, that your own members in Congress will vote you out because, you know, she was on the House floor the other day talking about a resolution 75, and she didn't know what the resolution was about. She wrote the damn thing, but because she didn't have it in front of her to read it, she, you know, like, just freeze, basically.
She probably didn't
she
even
froze. You know? Yeah, probably not.
Oh, come on. We know that for sure.
Yeah, she wants to put
you know.
Transgender.
She's the assistant defense secretary.
Right. Yeah, the transgender assistant secretary of defense is a transgender, and the cut her pay down to $1 a year. So, you know, because she's transgender. I mean, why is Bobo clown? Go ahead.
I was just going to say that motion, I'm pretty sure, did not go through because I watched it on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you're absolutely right. She was talking about cutting her pay to a dollar because she is a disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the way she put it. And then another a Democrat stood up and put her in her place. But there is someone else that's salary just got reduced to a dollar. We can talk about that next.
Sure. And who's Boebert to judge anybody based on their lifestyle? You know, she's calling herself a Christian conservative family person. But yet still, you know, her husband, like, whip his dick out in front of teenagers at a bowling alley. It was her son who knocked up a 16-year-old underage child. It was her grabbing a next man's penis in public, you know, and he grabbing her breasts. So Lauren Boebert should really shut the fuck up and not judge other people's lives and tell them how to live. You know, take care of your skeletons in your closet before you judge others. Yeah.
You know, it's so amazing to me that she can stand up there with her head held up high and be so immoral, but yet can pass her morality onto other people. So what? This woman is a transgender. She does her job. She does her job. Why does Boebert give a shit? It's not her body. It's not her family. She's not related to her. She doesn't speak to her. Why does she care? Because they want to waste time on the floor. They have wasted so much of our tax dollars that it is appalling. We should all stop paying taxes so that they can stop being paid. I don't know how else to put it because it's sickening. It is sickening. And when I heard that, I was appalled. And I don't think it happened, but yes, you wanted it to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, so on to the next topic, where, you know, this person, where is it? Yeah, the House wants to reduce Defense Secretary to $1. The amendment offered by Congresswoman Marjorie Greene from Georgia was agreed to in the House by a voice vote Wednesday afternoon. So the provision states clearly, quote, none of the funds made available by this act may be used to pay Defense Secretary Lloyd James Austin III a salary that exceeds $1. Green hailed her victory in passing an amendment saying Austin should be fired from his post for the chaotic U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021 and for low military recruitment. She said even $1 was too much for the defense chief. And I'm quoting this Edith Green, and she's saying, there's a loss in confidence in Lloyd Austin's leadership, and he deserves to be fired. So let's just put it in perspective. Before Trump left office, we started withdrawing from Afghanistan. And that was such a botched operation on his part, and Trump administration's part and everything. And after the transition, when Joe Biden became president, withdrawal, you know, out of Afghanistan continued. And, you know, for Marjorie Taylor Greene to do something as spiteful and awful as this, it just goes to show that if she has power, you know, if she become vice president of the United States, then it's she and Trump is at peas in a pod. It's going to be a revenge story, basically. Revenge against people who stand up for democracy, stand up for justice and equal rights, stand up for the Constitution. You know, what she's doing now is so disgusting, you know, because annually the defense secretary gets $221,000 a year or as a retired four-star general, you know, and he served 41 years in the military, and he's the first acting lead defense secretary, or not acting, but he's actually the first African-American defense secretary in the history of the United States. And the United States Senate confirmed him by 93-2 in 2021. So Green has frequently railed against his leadership. Why? Is it because he's black? Should all like seeing black people in positions of power? You know, it's quite possible because Marjorie Taylor Greene has a record of being a racist, disgusting pig. And the Georgia Republican has also complained that U.S. Service members being fired for refusing to get COVID-19 vaccinations. I mean, it has proven time and again, we saw it, the mishandling of COVID. the Trump administration when thousands of people died, you know, because of the misinformation Marjorie Greene, Lauren Boebert, Donald Trump gave, you know, with no repercussions, nobody going to, you know, serving any punishment for the misinformation. So for the amendment, Green used the Holman rule, which allows the House to reduce the salaries of federal employees or fire them. So, you know, other conservative lawmakers in the House have also complained about Austin, particularly over the Afghanistan withdrawal. Cora Mills is one such congressman from Florida, which she introduced articles of impeachment against Austin last month over the withdrawal. And the spending bills to fund the federal government faces an uncertain future in the House, which is struggling to pass them. So, you know, it's just all about spite and revenge and animosity because the current defense secretary is a black man in power.
So
they can't stand that.
Let me understand this. So they don't like the fact of how he handled, you know, the troops being brought home from Afghanistan. Is that one of the points she's trying to make?
Yeah, yeah.
So
manufactured crisis, basically.
So what was the alternative if Trump started to, you know, send them home and then
mm-hmm.
his time was up? What
mm-hmm.
was this man supposed to do? Leave them there?
Laurie, do you remember, Laurie and David, do you remember who Trump made the deal with? And he took out the people that were governing Afghanistan and he put the Taliban in place?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So what was this man supposed to do?
So, but they didn't bring that up on the floor, did they?
No.
They didn't mention that the Taliban was put in place. They have a little lapse of memory there.
So he was trying to bring our soldiers home so they wouldn't be slaughtered by the Taliban.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is it's a no-win situation with these people. If they were left there, then they would be complaining that they were paying soldiers in Afghanistan to stay there. So it is a no-win situation with these goons.
It would have been
a
smooth
transition.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, do I have it right? That it's a no-win situation.
Right.
Right?
See, the thing was,
yeah, pretty much.
Trump replaced the people that were governing Afghanistan. And had he not messed that up, when Biden got in office, it would have been a smooth transition.
Yes. I mean, how long were our soldiers supposed to stay in Afghanistan? That was a fake war to begin with. How long? How many more people had to die? How many more soldiers had to die? How much more money did we have to spend there? They didn't complain about that, did they?
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything they fuck up and turn to shit, they blame Biden and Democrats. And they have such a well-spinned oil machine. You know, they're just dishonest. And even when, you know, the media call them out on it, when the Democrats call them out on it, when even independent voters call them out on it, it's like they're living in this alternate universe where, oh, okay, we did say this, we did do this, but no, it's Democrats' fault because, and they make up something else. Let's pull things out of the ass, out of thin air. You know, next thing that we'll talk about, we'll have just over 40 minutes left, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Uncle Ruckus, as I call him, he went to the Bohemian Grove meeting last year. This is a Secret of All Men retreat in Northern California. And David Koch, the industrial billionaire, was there. And Bohemian Grove, nobody knows what happened behind closed doors with these powerful men in the United States. So, you know, it is said that according to ProPublica, Thomas had attended at least two Koch donor summits, putting him in an extraordinary position of having held a political network that has brought multiple cases before the Supreme Court. That's a conflict of interest right there. And instead of recusing himself from these cases, Clarence Thomas voted in favor of Koch Industries and whatever they had in front of the Supreme Court. Now, you know, Justice Scalia did that in his time as a Supreme Court justice before he croaked in his hotel room. And I hope the bastard is burning in hell right now. So what do you think about what do you think about, you know, the Supreme Court having somebody to watch over them for cases that this don't happen, first, where you have something in front of the Supreme Court
and an oversight committee?
Bigger leadership. Yeah, and you should be removed once it's found out like that you violated such things.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that the Koch brothers are rich as rich can be, and we know that they are not good people. And Clarence Thomas no longer, in my eyes, is a Supreme Court justice. He's just Clarence. How does that sound?
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that I know that he won't step down. I mean, that's obvious. With everything that's come out, he's not stepped down. He's not embarrassed. You can tell. You know, he's untouchable. He's elite in his mind. He's elite. He's untouchable. And they need to investigate him and then make him step down. They have to.
Mm-hmm.
They have to.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the Supreme Court is going back into session tomorrow. And I'm going to look up some of the cases that are coming up, and I don't think we're going to like what's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one's got to do with abortion. Another one, I believe, has to do with the Second Amendment. There are some controversial cases coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I will explore that tomorrow, and we can talk about that tomorrow night, because it's going to be an important thing. And I dread them coming back. I really do dread it.
Yeah. Because, you know, Clarence Thomas, Uncle Rocker, should have been removed and impeached, you know, from the Supreme Court. Because, remember, he accepted undisclosed luxury travel from Harlan Crowe, the billionaire, and ultra-wealthy men. Like, you know, Crowe purchased Thomas's mother's home and paid private tuition for the child Thomas was raising as a son. And Clarence Thomas has said little in response. Even in a statement earlier this year, he said that Crowe is a close friend who he joined on family trips. Now, Harlan Crowe has a lot in front of the Supreme Court. How can he join him allegedly on trips, according to you, and still take up his case as a Supreme Court justice? You know, that's, again, you know, there should be a code of conduct for the federal jury, federal judges, like the Supreme Court and everything. Because those under them have strict guidelines that can't, you know, break or they're out. So why it doesn't, you know, go with the Supreme Court? They're just above the law? I mean, come on, man. Come on. It's ridiculous.
It goes on to say that Thomas's involvement in the events is part of a years-long personal relationship with the Koch brothers that has remained almost entirely out of public view. It developed over years of trips to the Bohemian Grove, a secretive all-men's retreat in Northern California. Thomas has been a regular at the Groves for decades, where he stayed in a small camp with real estate billionaire Harlan Crow and the Kochs, according to the records and people who spent time with him there. A spokesperson for the Koch network, formerly known as Stand Together, did not answer detailed questions about his role at the Palm Springs event, but said Thomas wasn't present for the fundraising conversations. Who believes that?
Yeah.
Not me. You know, and then it says the idea that attending a couple events to promote a book or give dinner remarks, as all the justices do, could somehow be undue influence doesn't hold water, the spokesman said in a statement.
Yeah.
It's just so unfair. You know, it's just the elite, the people with money, it's gotten to the point where they have, you know, they have no consideration for others. You know, I don't have anything against people that have made it in the world or they've, you know, been given money through their families. That happens a lot, you know, all of that stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you don't do things like this when you're in a role, when you're a Supreme Court justice and you know right from wrong, supposedly, and you just do it anyways because you feel that you're entitled, that it doesn't matter, that you won't get caught. And what are they going to do with me? What are they going to do to me if I get caught? What are they going to do to me? I'm a Supreme Court justice. I'm respectable. That must be what they think.
And it was the Koch brothers who cultivated the Tea Party movement back in the Obama years. But the Tea Party has been recently rebranded as Stand Together, a network including powerful Americans for Prosperity Action, which spent over $65 million supporting Republican candidates in the last election cycle in 2022. So though Charles Koch is one of the 25 richest people in the world, he's estimated to worth $64 billion. You know, a mere, you know, $65 million is nothing for him, basically. So he raised money from other wealthy people to amplify the network's reach. And the network brought in at least $700 million in 2021, the most recent year for which the data is available. And it has more than 1,000 employees who on paper work for different groups. So basically, they're trying to buy democracy, you know. And but for all its complexities, the network is a centralized operation. And many of the groups occupy the same buildings in Arlington, Virginia, and share leadership and office staff. Many of the donations go into a central pot from which hundreds of millions of dollars are distributed to the smaller groups focused on various political and social concerns according to tax filings and former employees. So basically, Charles and David Koch, in 2019, let's just make it clear that David Koch died of cancer, may his soul burning eternal hell. You know, they try to, you know, destroy government basically with $64 billion that they have. Kind of believe in small government and limited government and blah, 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 the whole right-wing shtick and nonsense. So in Charles Koch, brother David Koch ran for vice president of the Libertarian Party in 1980. The party platform called for the abolition of the EPA, the Department of Energy, and the Food and Drug Administration. So there are extremists, even far-right extremists than some Republicans today. So every winter, the network holds its marquee fundraising event in Coachella Valley in Southern California, and hundreds of donors fly in to learn how their money is being spent and planned for the coming year. And former staffers describe an emphasis on preventing leaks that, you know, bordered on obsession. And who want to be a part of that meeting, a fly on the wall, because they're, like, dismantling democracy. Just because they have billions of dollars and think, you know, they're oligarchs, like in Russia, and just want to run and rule everything. And the networks often rent out an entire hotel room for the event. keeping out eavesdroppers, and documents left behind are methodically shredded. You know, if you're shredding documents, why you have to hide? There's something nefarious going on, obviously. One recent attendee recalled Cork Security staff in a golf cart escorting their Uber driver out of the local hotel to make sure he left. And a former staffer spoke on the condition of anonymity because of fear of retaliation. So this is how powerful these sons of bitches are. You know, you go against them, and you're trying to defend and uphold democracy and freedom and what's right. And they're so powerful, you know, with a blink of an eye, they could kill you. And nobody, like, really care because you're a nobody. You have no money. You're just a peon. So to score an invitation to the summit, donors typically receive or have to give at least $100,000 a year. So those who give in the millions receive special treatment, including dinners with Charles Cork and other high-profile guests. You know, so dueling out access to powerful public officials was seen as a potential fundraising strategy. And the dinner proposal has given donors access to and given them a reason to come or to continue to come in the future. You know, so it's a bribery scheme, basically. You pay $100,000 or more, and then you get special access, you know, to powerful people, whether on the Supreme Court or in Congress or in the business world. And Thomas Squat attended at least one of the dinners for top-tier donors. You know, he attended this donor event, and these donors found it fascinating. You know, and I don't know, it's like, you become an insider, basically, because money talk and bullshit talk, as we know in this country. So the Cork network and organization's relationship with Thomas was considered a valuable asset, you know, and offering a high-level donor an experience of meeting with someone like Clarence Thomas, that's huge. So it's like a pay-for-play scheme. Mm-hmm. And this is not what democracy is about. And it's just like pissing on the Constitution, basically. But anyway, Colin, would love to hear from everybody, Democrat, Republican, Socialist, Communist, whatever. 515-605-9802, the number to call. Say what you have to say, because we want to hear from a lot of people. Yeah, go ahead, Lori.
I just find the whole thing to be so, I don't even have words, because these people that go there are elitist, and they get a kick out of who's who, and you know, I can't even imagine how they act around each other, you know, and they probably talk about their Mercedes and their Porsches and, you know, their lavish vacations and their 20,000 square feet homes and all of that stuff, and to make them feel good about themselves. I can't imagine what else they could talk about. Do they go there just to talk about, we want to destroy democracy? We want to destroy the United States of America? It's just so sad that we have this top tier of people that are not good people. They're not good people. You know, they are where they are because of working people. Do we have to go through that again? I guess so. It's just like what's happening in the UAW right now. You know, I mean, they keep on laying off people so that they can put pressure on the UAW, you know, for the ones that are still working. They lay them off and they say, well, you know, your brothers there are all on strike, so, and we don't have any work for you, so, you know, go tell them to go back to work. That's what they're doing. They're pinning people against each other there as well. I don't know how any of this can end well. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, the Federalist Society leader, his name is Leonardo Leo, and he was the conduit to Uncle Ruckus, the Supreme Court Justice, with the Cork brother and everything. And Justice Thomas attended events all over the country, as do all the justices. And, you know, he, according to Leo, had the privilege of joining Clarence Thomas, and, you know, the necessary due diligence was performed to ensure that justice's attendance at the events was compliant with all ethics requirements, which it was not. You know, as we say in his income tax filings, Clarence Thomas, that he lied.
Mm-hmm.
And so the financial disclosure for that year, I think 2018 it was, Thomas contained two speaking engagements, one in New York City and the other in the Federalist Society conference in Texas. And his trip to the Coke event in California is not unformed. So, again, if you're not hiding anything, why didn't you put it on your tax form?
Right.
You know, and,
well, you know, even,
you know, for the,
yeah.
So on the main
ahead,
stage,
David.
Donors heard from the Hall of Fame quarterbacker Deion Sanders, who was working with the Cokes on an anti-poverty program in Dallas. Another speaker delivered a report card of the group's political wins, large and small. So repeal voter-approved donor disclosure initiative that was in front of the Supreme Court. It was voted 6-3 to not reveal who donated what to what super PAC. Retraction of mining and environmental overreach, so that it would rather destroy the air and water that we drink, like they did in Ohio, because government regulations were withdrawn and stopped. You know, so, I mean, it's all about money with these people. And during the event, the group announced a new initiative focused on getting conservatives on the Supreme Court and on the federal bench. And in other words, pack the federal benches with right-leaning people who agree with them and, you know, forget any other person who disagree with them. They may have, like, experience out the wazoo. If you're not a conservative or believe what Federalist people believe in, then, you know, you will be nominated. And if you are nominated, then they'll give it hell until either you get frustrated and withdraw your nomination, or the president who nominates you say, hey, let's pick somebody else closer aligned to the Federalists, you know? So it's like they're trying to bully people and, you know, full up the Supreme Court conservatives and on the federal bench on a lower level. And this is not what democracy is about. Democracy is listening to every side and having an opinion and arguing and debating over those opinions to come to some sort of conclusion, meet somewhere in the middle to help move America forward. But these conservatives wanted their way on a highway, and that is what's destroying America. We should stop this. You know, this Federal Society is a dangerous organization, in my estimation. And the plan to mobilize activists and by advertisement push senators to vote for Donald Trump, judicial nominees when he was president, the appointed a former employee of Jim Thomas, the wife of Clarence Thomas, to lead the effort. So it's like a whole, you know, clique organization, you know, like I scratch your back, you scratch mine. And for the life of me, I don't understand why Jenna Thomas is not in front of the House Oversight Committee for her role on January 6th. She should be answering questions.
I know.
She should be drilled for 14 hours like how Hillary Clinton was drilled over Benghazi and other rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she wouldn't survive 10 minutes in that room. You know, maybe softball questions by Republicans, but Democrats would, like, tear her from limb to limb, which she would deserve it. You know, it's just favoritism all around and cronyism, and America deserves better than that. I say it every week, and people probably tired of me saying and hearing me say it. America and American voters deserve better than this. It's appalling. It's disgraceful.
Yeah.
We're not the bastion of democracy. It's bullshit. It's an oligarchy running America. They should stop it. Go back to basics. Yes, frightening.
It is. And you know, the Koch brothers, you know, that organization, they're not good people. I'm sure everyone knows that, you know, with their pipelines and their power and all the products that they make. I mean, they're worth billions and billions of dollars. But they're not good people. You know, they don't give back to society. I remember back a few years back, I was reading an article about them, and they actually told their employees who they had to vote for in that election. They told them that's who they expect, you know, and of course it wasn't a Democrat, but they told them who they were expected to vote for if they wanted to keep their jobs, basically. That's how it went. That is not right. That's not right. But these people have gotten to the point where they have so much power, and the money part is what gives them the power, because they have endless amounts of money to throw at people. And the ones that really don't have a lot of money, you know, that aren't millionaires or billionaires, sure, they're going to take that money, you know, to make their life better. Absolutely, they'll do that. So it's just a revolving door of just sad, you know, it's a revolving door of the elite paying, you know, and going through, getting their way. It's just a revolving door. That's all it is. Just, you know, pay as you play. Pay as you play. That's it.
Yes. An orange bastard is due in New York City. I don't know. Electing more Democrats, more progressives. That's the only thing so logical that we can do. So the orange bastard is due in New York City tomorrow. Go ahead.
I was just going to say
Go ahead, Lori.
These people all put their pants on the same way as everyone else. They put their clothes on the same way. They wear the same type of clothes. They put them on the same way. You know, they have to take showers like everybody else. They're not different than with other human beings. That's all I wanted to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the orange bastard, the orange rat bastard, is due in court in New York City tomorrow. It stands as $250 million civil fraud trial before a judge who has just ruled that he is a fraudster and a liar. The 45th president, Donald Trump, will arrive in New York Sunday, which is tonight, for his trial tomorrow, Monday. So $250 million case started when Attorney General Letitia James accused Trump and the organization of inflating properties for its own good. And when it went to banks, they deflated the property value because they wanted more loans. So the news came after Trump's request to delay in the trial was denied. And now the orange bastard is expected to arrive in the Big Apple, as I say. And the $250 fraud case will kick off when New York Attorney General Letitia James accused Trump, his adult sons, and his entire Trump organization of inflating the value of property to fix business needs. So on Monday, the civil trial will address what Trump, his businesses, his adult sons, and his business sources did with that false information. It's a federal crime to have false information, and he should be put behind bars. But, you know, he's Donald Trump, so he's above the law. Twitter system again. This will just be the start of a load of trials that Donald Trump will face from October this year to May next year. And as he has been in a constant feud with James, he also has called out Justice Arthur Erdogan for carrying out a witch hunt on him. I mean, Jesus Christ, he's always the victim. He's never wrong. He never apologizes, does he? So Judge Engoron is a judge assigned to the trial and will give the final say on what happens next to the orange bastard. And, you know, hopefully, well, not hopefully, he's banned from creating any charitable organization, any type of business in New York, and forever, for life. You know, so that's a good start. And last week, Judge Erdogan ruled that the extermination or exterminate Trump's family business on basis of widespread fraud. These properties included Trump Towers and Trump International Hotels. And since those properties were taken away, Trump has openly spoken out about how he feels in regards to Judge Erdogan's decision. And I'm quoting the rat bastard. "I have a deranged, Trump-hating judge who railroaded fake case through the New York State courts at a speed never before seen. He said it's on Truth Social. So on top of attempting to delay the trial, the Orange Bastard went a step further and accused the judge of failing to comply with Ehrlich appeals that he said altered the range of the case against him. So now, again, he is blaming, casting aspersions and blaming other people for his fuck-ups and, you know, blaming them, you know, for numerous things. The legal team that represent Trump were thrown off by Erdogan's abrupt decision, even after James found that Trump and his company's team banks, insurers, and others by massively overvaluing his assets and exaggerating his net worth on paper. And he used in making deals and securing financing. So basically, everybody knew this for years now. Trump is a liar, a manipulator, a cheat, a fraud. And it's legal now. So she also said that he boosted valuation of up to $2 billion, inflating the value of his signature assets, including Mar-a-Lago Club, which is a pigsty dump in my estimation. I've been there a couple of times, where he's now residing, and the Manhattan penthouse apartment at Trump Tower. So Trump, his company's key executives, repeated a lie about them and his annual financial statements. That's the only reason why he made it on Forbes 400 list. He lied and inflated numbers. And he got loans from different banks, and no American bank after a certain period, after how many bankruptcies, would lend him money. So where did he go? He went to Europe to borrow this money. You know, he got low insurance premiums. He got favorable loan terms. And in response to Trump's claim that, you know, with a decline to sign, the defendant's agreement are completely without merit. So Donald Trump, know he's going down, and God, hopefully, in the start of the trial tomorrow, there will be ample security for the judge and Letitia James, Attorney General, and all those who are involved, because we know Trump is beholden to Russia and Vladimir Putin, and we saw how Putin deal with issues and problems. When someone disagrees with him, Putin have them killed. And I don't think Donald Trump has the brains or the tenacity to charge something like that off. But just in case, let's beef up security, you know, because we know there are a lot of psychopaths out there who support Donald Trump, and, you know, for whatever reason, they love him, and they're hypnotized by his bullshit. You know, I literally choke on his bullshit, but they're hypnotized and drawn to him. So, you know, just hope everybody is safe tomorrow at that start of the trial and ample security is there, because Donald Trump is an idiot who owes the Russian President Putin a lot, and may justice prevail, because, like I say, American people deserve better. You know, $250 million is a good thing. Take him out of business for good in New York State. But I digress. 16 minutes left. The number to call is 515-605-9802. This is Kitchen Politics 123, and I'm David Franklin in New Mexico, along with Laura Picker in Michigan. We're talking about the different things that's been happening in the past week in American politics and what's coming up in the week ahead. So we'd love to hear everybody's perspective. Online, we have Elaine, a regular caller from Michigan. So where next do you see America going in terms of politics? You know, we'll put an end to that government shutdown. So what next in the upcoming week, you think?
Well, tomorrow will be interesting. As far as I'm concerned, you know, he even said that Mar-a-Lago's value was $739 million, and the New York Attorney General said it's only worth $75 million. Exaggeration, much, you think?
Yeah, gross exaggeration.
It's hard to say. Yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
It's really hard to say. Every day it's something. There's not a day that goes by that there's not some sort of stress factor that happens. So we'll just have to see. Like, tomorrow will be the trial. And I don't know, is that just going to last one day? Have you heard? Is that just a one-day thing?
No, I have no idea.
Because
there were a lot of things to go through. That was just going to last one day, probably a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, the immensity of the fraud, it deserved more than one day, you know.
Yeah. The other thing is, does anyone know if it's going to be on television? I wonder if it's going to be on television. That would be really interesting because I would love to hear what Eric has to say and his son, you know, John Jr., the other goofball. And I think Ivanka is supposed to be there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope it's on TV, but I don't know if it will be or not.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I kind of doubt that it will, but
maybe,
I don't know. I don't know.
Substitution done with this case. Let me explain something. Remember when the banks overestimated property, and that was the downfall of the banks? They would look at a house, an estimator would look at a house, and it had water in the basement, so the house was put down on a piece of paper or computer that it had an in-ground basement pool. Or pool in a basement, and that made the property worth an extra $10,000. I'm not exaggerating on that either. They found cases like that.
No, I know. I remember.
All right.
I remember.
People went to prison for that. And I don't see any difference in what happened there and with what Donald Trump and his swampy family have done. They've done the exact same thing, and the zeros and the commas are more plentiful. And I really, really can't wait to see justice for that, because there was a lot of people who were working for banks, were told to do things, and they did them, and they ended up going into prison because they were stupid and naive. But Donald Trump and his family know exactly what they're doing, and I would really love to see them pay the piper, just like the rest of those people did with that bank fiasco.
I agree. I don't know if there is jail time for something like this.
There is jail time for it. There is jail time for it.
I hope.
I know of a couple of people that went to jail. Not jail. They went to prison.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
5 years.
Well, that would be nice. That would be nice. 5 years, I'll take
it. And a lot of them got a lot of the people that were under the big shots ended up serving more time than the big shots. The big shots paid a fine. I would like to see. I would like to see Trump go to prison. And by God, if he doesn't go to prison, I want to see him in a cardboard box down by the river.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Along with Melania.
Well, I would like to see him in prison and broke. That's what I would like to see. I mean, penniless. That's what he deserves. Because he looks down on people. He is one of those elites that I've been talking about tonight that looks down on people. You know, he thinks he's better than everyone else. He thinks his shit don't stink. Just like the Koch brothers, just like Clarence Thomas, just like Matt Gaetz, just like McCarthy. The list is long, and they're not any better than anyone else. It's only because of the position that they're in and the power that they've been given, but they're not good people.
They're pariahs.
They need good people to run this country. That's what they need.
Mm-hmm.
They're pariahs.
Do you know, ladies, that billionaires have gotten $2.2 trillion richer? since the Trump GOP tax cuts, $2.2 trillion.
Yes.
While everybody else suffers.
Yes.
$2.2 trillion goddamn dollars. Tax-free, may I add.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. Oh, it is. Most of it is tax-free because they haven't really fixed that yet from 2017. I've been waiting. I've been waiting, you know. But yeah, that is amazing. And they do not want to, like I was saying, the UAW workers that are on strike, you know, okay, they sound like they ask for a lot of money and a lot of benefits and whatever but they have earned it. And it's not given to them all at once as well. And $220 trillion dollars, you know what they could do with that? They could fix this country so fast. So fast.
Yep.
They could help the homeless.
Did you notice
why bother?
I'm sorry. Did you notice the gazillionaires nowadays do not have foundations? They are not giving back to the government. I mean, giving back to the people.
A lot of them are not.
They don't even have that anymore. And the minute Bill Gates gets the money back, the conservatives call him names. I mean, you know, wake up, America. Wake up, world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm sure everybody knows that served time in that bank fiasco. And I think Trump and his swampy kids and his swampy family and his swampy friends should go to prison just like anybody else.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
But they're above the law. You know, they're rich, so they're above the law, you know. Two-tier justice system.
Yep.
So California governor, this is the last topic before I have to go. California governor Gavin Newsom to appoint somebody in the late Dan Feinstein's seat. The Congressional Black Caucus Sunday urged the California governor to appoint Barbara Lee, the congresswoman from California, who is running for the nomination to replace Feinstein. But the governor has said that the three people running, he won't appoint them to the seat. He just appoint an interim. The CBC chairman, Stephen Horsford, Democrat from Nevada, wrote Sunday in a letter to Newsom, and I quote, "For these reasons, we strongly urge you to appoint Congresswoman Barbara Lee to the United States Senate. She's the only person with the courage, the vision, and a record to eradicate poverty, face down, and the fossil fuel industry." So she defended our democracy and tirelessly advanced the progressive agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a point. But
yes, he does.
The other Democrats running is what's her name? Katie Porter and Adam Schiff. Katie Porter and Adam Schiff.
I'd
and
like
they've
her too.
Done a great job in Congress, both of them, all three of them, actually. You know, so I agree with Gavin Newsom, not appointing one of them who's running currently, but somebody outside. You know, how about Los Angeles mayor? He'd make a good interim U.S. senator. You know, so what do you think? Who do you think should what do you think about this thing? Who should he put in there to fill in for Dianne Feinstein?
Why not who they suggested for now? Just let her fill in. Let them see how she does in her job, and let it go from there.
No, but that would be a conflict. That would be unfair to the other two candidates. That's why he's saying he won't put in anybody who's running currently for nomination.
Oh.
He's not. He doesn't want to play favorites.
No. Oh yeah. Then I don't know what this. Who do you think? I don't know how he's going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking I don't remember the name of the Los Angeles mayor. You know?
Oh, I don't. I could look it up, but I don't
So he would be a good replacement, an interim senator, until, you know, nomination is completed. And, you know, of course, mm-hmm. I have a jungle system in California where the top two finishers go off to a runoff and one of the most votes win, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I agree with Gavin Newsom on that. Yeah.
Yeah,
and that has to be the last word.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Or the governor could even appoint himself, but, you know, I'd rather him stay as governor of California. You know, because I wouldn't want a Republican in there. Republicans, you know, shit on everything. Just shit on everything that touch.
No.
Anyway, ladies, thank you. It was a good show tonight.
Yep, thank you.
Hopefully, start convoking.
Yes, it was.
And hopefully, you don't know things. You know, thank you for spreading the word about Kitchen Politics 123 on social media.
Mm-hmm.
By word, I'm going to have our merchandise up and running shortly, God's willing. You know, we're going to take over the words of the website, and this website is going to blow up so much. You know, can't wait to, you know, the end of the year in 2024, because we're going to go full throttle, full blast. We're going to beat on our own sins. You know, other people have abandoned us for a reason unknown. Who knows? Maybe they're Republicans. But, you know, wish them well.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I wish them well. I have no ill feelings. Just want to know why they don't want a break in the agreement. But anyway, life, throw your lemons, you make lemonade with it. And chase it with some rum.
That's right.
So you get along with life.
We'll be fine.
You know,
I like that.
You know, we'll all stumble and fall. Yeah, we'll all stumble and fall.
Vitamin C in a lemon.
What?
Lots of vitamin C in a lemon.
Yeah.
That's right.
And even though certain people want to see us fail and fall on their faces, that's not going to happen. Because, you know, I don't know. I'm Scorpio. I'm stubborn. I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, anything I touch has to turn gold, platinum easy. And I'm not going to give up on Kitchen Politics 123, you know. But anyway, thank you for joining us, Elaine. Thank you, Khalil and Virginia, for calling in early. And thank you.
Thanks, guys.
And this has been Kitchen Politics 123 for Sunday, October 1st, 2023. I will see you tomorrow, same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Block Talk Radio for another edition, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Everyone have a good evening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Good night now.
When you are through a storm. high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of love.